Please be seated. There's been a mistake in the bulletin because, as you know, we have an intern and he is my trusted advisor. And he said that we would have to do without a sermon this morning because the choir is going to sing now. And because of time constraints, I would just ask that we skip the sermon. Choir leader? Okay, you know it's an April Fool's joke. What's that? For a while. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Easter is stranger than fiction. I think we can all agree on that, no? Easter is really bizarre. I mean, here, the famous rabbi from Nazareth in Galilee, who died on a cross on a Friday, is alive on Sunday. The most famous rabbi of his day, who preached to thousands, healed the sick, blessed the poor, fed the hungry, and championed the oppressed, he was tortured and crucified, his lifeless body taken down and put into a tomb, a grave in the rock, and a big stone rolled in front of the entrance. And now we're told he's alive, he is risen, and that just doesn't make any sense. I'm sure you've heard of another famous man who died recently, Stephen Hawking. Yeah, dubbed the most famous scientist of our day. Famous not only because of his amazing theoretical discoveries in the field of physics and astronomy, but also because Stephen Hawking lived in a wheelchair most of his life with a very debilitating disease called ALS. And though he was only expected to live to age 25, he ended up living to 76. He was married twice. He, I believe, has four children. That in itself is a bit of an Easter miracle. Seen the movie, and I'm told that leaves out some of the not so savory details of his life. But still, I was impressed. Here's a man who lived with a debilitating disease and accomplished a great deal against the odds. Now, Hawking is credited with breakthrough insights into black holes. You may know that. Black holes are those objects that we're told form when a large star runs out of fuel and dies. So it's no longer producing energy, it collapses under the weight of its own mass. The gravity of this dying star makes it shrink to a tiny, tiny object called a singularity. Now, those of you who know this better than me, just talk to me afterwards and correct if I make some, you know, some layman's mistakes. But the gravitational pull of the dying star apparently sucks everything into its wake, and nothing, not even light, can escape that dying star. I know. Stranger than fiction. And that's actually the phrase Stephen Hawking used, stranger than fiction. For many years, scientists believed that black holes were, in fact, the end of time, the end of space, the end of knowledge and information, the end of the universe. But Stephen Hawking is credited with discovering that black holes are actually not the end. He says they're not as black as we often painted them. There is believed to be a whole new universe on the other side of a black hole, on the other side of a collapsing megastar. Maybe a whole bunch of universes. And there are even some things that do escape the black hole on this side of time. Stuff that can be observed, a kind of radiation, and of course they called it Hawking radiation. Reality is stranger than fiction, and that is true of physics as much as of theology. The world out there, as much as the world in here. Easter begins with the black hole of Good Friday. If we didn't know that Easter was coming, we'd be staring down that black hole today. After 2,000 years of rehearsing the Holy Week events, we know it's predictable. Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Saturday, you're kind of wondering, but then, you know, oh, it's Easter, of course, right? Surprise, surprise, Jesus risen from the dead. But put yourself in the shoes of those first women who had watched Jesus on the cross on Good Friday. A group of them had stayed right to the bitter end. Men had all fled. These women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Joses and James and Salome, and a whole bunch of other women from Galilee, were watching Jesus writhe in agony as the sky turned dark, and he cried, my God, why? God's incarnate Son crucified. The star collapsed. God's moral and spiritual universe seems to have died. Everything good that Jesus represents, gone. Killed, murdered, unjustly condemned, the victim of treason, jealousy, and cowardice. Sin, we say, is that hideous gravitational force of death that draws everything in its wake. Nothing can escape the void. And then he was buried, a stone rolled in front. End of the world, of joy, of love, of peace. Of God? And then today we hear the story how these three same women who went near that black hole on Good Friday now went to the tomb to prepare him for a proper burial, looking for comfort. And they ask themselves, who will roll that stone away? And these words are so full of weight and gravity. I think they're some of the best words in Holy Scripture. And I think many of us can identify with those words because we ourselves know the gravity of our own lives. We know the weight that is on our hearts. There have been more deaths in our congregation over the past year than in all the previous years combined. We have stared and are staring into that black hole and wonder, who will roll the stone away? Beyond our congregation, we look into a world that's more and more filled with chaos. The disintegration of society, another mass murder at Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida. Communities such as the South Side of Chicago ripped apart by ongoing gun violence that's not in the news, but just as real and more deadly than those stories that do make the news. We have politicians getting sucked into partisanship on left and right and again. And we see so many other dreams and hopes die and diminish. The young people in the United States can sing a song about that. It seems that the resistance to the pull of darkness is almost futile. Stephen Hawking himself was asked about how he thought the world would end. He made four predictions. Three scenarios how the world would end, according to Stephen Hawking. The first one was nuclear war. And we all know we're closer to that now than we ever were during the Cold War. Doomsday clock has been moved ahead by scientists. Climate change was the second one. And he asked whether, you know, we would ever manage to reduce CO2 emissions. Man-made viruses was Stephen Hawking's third one, that a event would break out where out of a laboratory where the world would be infested with something that wasn't there before, that we don't know how to control. Third, he said robots threaten the world, machines that are autonomous and take over our lives, our world. And that was the fourth scenario. Each one of those scenarios is enough to plunge me and you probably too into a dark hole of depression. Who will roll the stone away? Like those women at the grave of Jesus, The great scientist didn't have an answer either. Yeah, build a colony out in space, but it's not a very plausible scenario. But now the surprise of Easter is the stone has been rolled away. The weight of human sin could not hold Jesus Christ in death. The grave is no longer a black hole, but is filled with light emanating from that messenger in a white robe who declares he is not here, he has risen from the dead. Let that ring through your heart for a moment. God himself has entered the world. The darkness of human violence, the void of human hopelessness and despair, suffered the agony, the fear and anxiety that we ourselves suffer. God himself has gone over the edge. He has crossed the event horizon, which is that part of a black hole where you either stay out of the hole or you get sucked in. And Jesus, God has gone into it. He has gone over the waterfall, so to speak. And it did not hold him. The black hole, it turns out, is not as dark as we painted it, because Jesus has entered it. And a whole new universe opens up for us who follow him. And on this side, there is radiation coming back to us. There is the glow of the message that Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Christ has triumphed, and he is the beginning of a new creation. The alleluia is that radiation that's coming from the Holy Spirit today. The women heard it that morning. And yes, they ran away. They were all flustered, and I mean, who wouldn't? No, we wouldn't. We'd be jumping up and down, wouldn't we? We would be rising and singing hymns like we have today, right? Christ is risen, hallelujah. But those women ran away fearful, terrorized, amazed at what had happened, but fearful. They didn't tell anybody what they had heard or seen. Why? Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they give high fives and dance and say, you know, we knew it. He told us he was going to rise again. It's Easter again. Hey, it's predictable. But it says they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. What were they afraid of? Well, I think they were afraid that all the stuff that Jesus did and all the stuff he stood for had meaning for their lives. That it was not just a one-time thing that Jesus did, but that it was something that they were called to do and live themselves. That they were to follow the teaching and the ministry of the one who healed the sick, who fed the hungry, who preached good news to the poor and to the disadvantaged, that this was in fact the right way to live. That love for enemies is the way to live. That nonviolence is the way to live. That a commitment to truth and justice is the way to live. Jesus' whole ministry was vindicated by his resurrection. And that's a kind of a scary prospect. What kind of lives would we have to live to make that a reality? What would it mean to carry our cross the way Jesus said his followers should? Lose our life in order to win it? If we were to take that seriously, it's almost enough to make you run away. No? It's a scary prospect. Jesus has risen from the dead? Yeah, but, whoa, that means a change in my life. That means a change in how I relate to God, to people around me, to myself, to all the darkness, all the black holes that I encounter. If the black hole of sin and death is not the end, then we are called to live with hope and courage at its edge. The Easter message is the radiation that comes from the grave of God's Son. It is the light in which we are called to live, and that can be scary. It takes courage to live near death and not run from the reality, but to face it with hope. And the women overcame that hope, glad to say. The Gospel of Mark used to end right there with the verse I read. They ran away and didn't tell anybody anything. That was the first ending of the original Gospel. Later on, they added some things. But you know what? We know from Paul that they must have spilled the beans. Paul the Apostle and all the other apostles that wrote about Jesus' resurrection in the New Testament, they said he appeared to people. Paul doesn't even talk about the empty tomb. He doesn't even talk about the angel saying he is risen. He says, Jesus appeared to 500 people at the same time, to the 12 apostles at once, and to him, as of one untimely born, he said, he also appeared to me. So the evidence of Jesus' resurrection is not so much tied to the tomb as it is to the appearance of Jesus, to the experience of love and peace and joy and the very presence of the one who died on the cross. And together, these women and the men began to live the way of Jesus, serving and caring without fear. Now, in the movie about his life, Stephen Hawking gave a last lecture, and he was asked at one point by a member of the audience how he keeps going despite his physical challenges and in the light of the challenges he sees for humanity. And Stephen Hawking answered, "Where there is life, there is hope." And I thought about that phrase, "Where there is life, there's hope." And yes, that's certainly true. We had babies baptized here in the first service. We have babies in the back being bounced. It's a wonderful sign of life. There's hope for the world where there are children born, where there is springtime. Well, there's hope somewhere in Canada, I'm sure. But as Christians, we can turn that sentence around and we can say, where there is hope, there is life. Because life springs from hope. Life springs from the darkness of Good Friday. Life springs from Jesus Christ who entered the darkness and came through the other side and sends us his spirits radiating with the glow of resurrected life. Easter says that there is not only life beyond death, but there is new life on this side of death. There is life where there is hope, and there is hope where there is life. Hope that creates life, faith that creates life. Hope that will not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. This is the joy we proclaim today to a world much in need of good news. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.